And now the disclaimer. The topics heard on Into Your Body is primarily meant for mature audiences and is not intended for younger or more sensitive listeners. The suggestions and opinions heard on this show does not necessarily represent the views of this station, its management, or their underwriters. These suggestions are not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness or other malady. Discretion has been advised. And now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to Into Your Body. This is Sam.
And this is DJ. Welcome to the show that tells you how to get into your body so you can get the most out of life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And tonight we're talking about healing trauma through sexuality.
Yes. And this is now the time where we get into, I think, why I wanted to do this show in the first place, I guess. Another reason why I wanted to do the show.
Yeah.
And that's because one of the things that I feel was instrumental in me being able to get back on my feet after going through sexual trauma, after going through a traumatic relationship, after going through and the healing process of all of that,
right.
going through that too, was learning how to appreciate myself for what I am and for what it is, and learning how to love my body for what it is. Not just learning to just how often we're trained how to love our bodies in you have to fit this mold, you have to fit this ideal.
Yeah, you have to be a certain size, shape.
A certain body type, mm-hmm. exactly, or an image, the blonde hair, etc. You know, the whole thing. Not dissing on anyone who has all those features, but it's purported that it's okay if you have those features, but if you don't, ooh, and then yeah. you have to try to adjust to that. But anyway, I'm going off a track here. So learning how to feel good about myself again and learning how to appreciate myself for as it is, chubby body and all at the time, was important to me in my healing. And so learning how to start to look at myself in the mirror again,
mm-hmm.
and start to see myself as a full and complete person again, and learning how to love it for what I am and for who I am. It was a challenge at first.
Yeah.
Because too often we look into the mirror and we're learned to start judging it, to look at all the flaws, to
right.
look at what's broken, to look at what's wrong, to look at all the zits I have to pop still, and all of the ingrown hairs that are causing the zits that I have to pop, but this one has to get, and you just can't look because it's gross, and you just can't do it anymore.
And all those stretchy spots and the pieces that are not where they used to be.
Mm-hmm. And learning how to just look at it and say that's okay, and being okay with not loving it at first,
yeah,
but appreciating myself for having gone through the journey, and appreciating, and even that was hard to crack the nut to appreciate that, to having had that experience. That was difficult for me as well.
Yeah, having to look at yourself and really look at yourself again.
Mm. It was difficult to look at myself from that point as, well, it was good because it was able to reflect to me my weaknesses, my weak points, where I still had those spots where I am vulnerable. And I see those things, and immediately I want to turn around and say, hey, I feel better. But yet at the same time, I had an awful trigger, and it was not fun.
Well, yeah.
It was not fun having that trigger that just come back, and it just came out of nowhere, even after I thought I had, you know, had gone through that. But of course, in the past few weeks, with issues of people coming forward with their own stories in light of the wrong person being nominated to the Supreme Court, and in light of people having to reveal their stories, now we're in a day and age where we can tell those stories and it can be respected and be taken seriously.
Unless, of course, you're, you know, talking about somebody at Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in that house on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but in reality, yeah, the Me Too movement is a big thing for people right now. Because I remember when I went through my traumas, the worst ones, you didn't talk about it. You did not discuss it with anybody. I mean, if you turned it in at all, you might talk to a counselor for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't tell your family, you didn't tell your friends, you didn't spread it around. It was something that was a shame.
Why was it a shame?
It's social mores, man. Social mores. Everything sexual at that point was a shame. Everybody had their... Everybody, okay. We were taught that pretty much anything that felt good was sin. And so, you know, the sexuality period is shameful.
So there was that religious influence that happened there?
Right.
Was that from the community, or was that just part of the...
It was actually communal. It wasn't
family,
just...
the community,
it wasn't just the church
itself.
It wasn't just church. It was pretty much widespread everywhere.
So it was pretty much all of the above. That's kind of weird. I haven't had that.
Well, it seemed like... Well, I grew up in small town America, very small town, and sexuality just wasn't discussed. It wasn't a thing. It was just, okay, well, we won't talk about that. Put that away. And if you did talk about it, you got blamed and shamed.
Given the culture of small town America.
Right. So, yeah, and luckily now, things are much different. Because now you have this whole thing with social media. And you can find others who are just like you. Went through the same things, have the same feelings, have the same emotional drama, because it really is drama, not just trauma. Mm. Because, yeah, you're fighting your own mind, your own heart, and everybody else's at the same time.
I also feel like a lot of the time you're looking for people in your, let's say, so-called tribe.
Right.
Not only people who have gone through that experience, but people who not only have feel the same way that you do, that you've shared, but are also going through the same healing process that you are.
Right. And people you can learn from. That's really important, too.
I know. I can confess just a teeny weeny bit. I don't want to give too much away here, but I did find a lot of healing. I know I'm going to sound like a stupid hippie here, but I was inspired to, like, start the healing process through, one, mirror work, that was inspired through my counselor, and second of all, starting to do yoga.
Yeah.
Learning how to getting into an exercise regimen that was completely different, that had absolutely nothing to do with abusing myself as much as I possibly could, but moving to one where I'm allowed to breathe, I'm allowed to move. I did a lot of research to find, like, the right yoga studio.
Right.
And I was able to relax and feel chill, for one, and be able to start that method of being able to move again, be able to feel my body start to move the way it wants to again.
Becoming more flexible and more stretchy.
that was a byproduct. I had no idea that becoming flexible was a side benefit of the slow movement, which was a side benefit of me just showing up, right. Which is a side benefit of me changing my mind.
Right.
And all of those experiences led me to being there, to being on the mat, and then getting back into my body and feeling again, and then learning again, and then reconnecting my sensuality one little teeny little step at a time.
Right.
It's been a bit of a walk, and then, you know, I would have something that would just like make me stop, and I would have to change everything again. And I want to, after talking about what my own particular experiences here, you know, Sam, how were you able to get back into sensuality in your own way? I mean, I came in through one way. You came in through a different way or other ways?
I came in through several ways, yeah. There's something cathartic about that pain that I got through BDSM, which was that it's something that I chose. It's something that I had control over it. I wasn't a victim. I was able to say, okay, let's do this. And so we would do this. And if at any point I didn't feel comfortable or good or whatever emotion happened, I could say one word and end the whole thing, which to me was like taking back my power, taking back my self-control, my emotional control, because I could say, nope, no more of that. And that would be the end of it. Whereas, you know, before in the abuse, it was, I could say whatever and nothing ever stopped it.
How were you able to transmute the feeling of control in the kink scene from having been in a situation where you have sexual assault and then you have a scene that it mimics the same situation? You mentioned something along the lines of being able to control what happens with a single word.
With one single word.
So having control over, I mean, so basically repeating the scene and having control over that scene yourself as I guess being the submissive person in this situation makes the difference.
Well, first off, being consensual, it's like a contract. Almost. You consent to this and this and this, and then really the submissive has all the control, because without the submissive's consent, the dominant has no pleasure because they can't do the thing that turns them on. So by giving my consent, first off, it was, I chose this. By being able to stop it, it was, I chose this, I'm in control of this, I am not a victim. And that helped me to translate the miseries of having been sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused, into a place of power, a place of personal power. And I don't mean power like power over someone, power within myself.
And it does have a significant advantage to yourself to have a dominant partner who is willing to
play along.
willing to play along, but is able to see those signals, or at least able to tell what's going on.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you make your contract to do these scenes, and it could be a verbal contract or a written, whatever, depending on who you're with, you put forth one word, they call the safe word. And usually it's something that has absolutely nothing to do with sex and cannot be mistaken for role play. Mm-hmm. you know, like rutabaga or peppermint or something, anything that has nothing to do with sexuality, if you say this word, the scene stops. And the dominant will then take the sub into their arms and comfort them. So there's that. You've got total control. If you're feeling out of control, you get comforted. So for me, it really worked.
Ideally speaking, of course.
Well,
I mean, I'm saying that's what as long you're as supposed to do.
As long as you're in a consensual, safe and sane relationship where you were was not consensual.
Where definitely was not consensual at first there.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it's like a form of aversion therapy? Because it sounds like I have this experience, it's traumatic, it's stuck in my head. And now the next thing that I want to do is like, I want to heal from it, I want to be able to move on, I want to be able to try again. And some say aversion therapy is the best way to heal from it, to subject yourself directly to it and go through that again, and go through that experience again in order to reclaim that feeling. So it sounds like...
Yeah.
You know, aversion or immersion, I guess, is the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much immersion, because you're putting yourself in a situation where you could be abused, mm-hmm. or, you know, mimics some of the abuse, but in a controlled fashion.
Now, it would be somewhat difficult for me, and I guess this is, I'm just speaking only for myself to, I guess, for myself to get into a situation that resembles what I went through,
right.
and just have it at one point just say, okay, now I have control over it. Now I can say, like, now you can touch me, now you can guide me, now you can do whatever you can. And it was so weird because for me, it came from a simple sexual act that most people tend to do. But in my situation, it was done forcefully and something that I didn't ask for.
In fact, something that you said absolutely no to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, something that I said no to. And so what I wanted to see is that, you know, if I put myself in that same thing again, it's like, how do I, like, stop those triggers from happening in order to go through it all so that I can feel it again, so that I remember myself that, hey, I'm in control here. This is me. This is what I have to do. This is not the same thing.
Right.
You know, I'm with somebody. How? I mean, you are. You have to remind yourself that you are in that scene with,
yeah.
you know, but what mechanisms would one have to stop oneself from spiraling out of control to say, here I am. I'm not going through this again. This is different.
I think that's where, for me, the contract part of the BDSM was important because it was spelled out beforehand. You know, what things... Because there are still a few things I cannot do and will not do because of the abuse that I went through. And so, you know, I'm able to put those on my limits list. And we talked about this once before, too. You know, consent and limits. Absolutely. So if there's something that I absolutely won't do, that's out. And maybe coming through... I can't speak for your process because I didn't endure your abuse. And I'm not having to, like, live through it again and again and again. I would like to say that just maybe having that contract ability, saying, please don't do this, this, or this. Or if you do, talk about it first.
Be selective of what you'd want to have the experience be like.
Right.
So you can script it out ahead of time.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, you can script it out. You're still going to have moments that aren't scripted, but, you know, the things that you're afraid of, that make you feel fear, make you feel dirty, make you feel used, make you feel abused, make you feel hurt, make you feel scared, whatever the emotion is, you can definitely contract those into or out of a scene or whatever you're doing. And it's good to do that, I think.
This is Into Your Body, and we're talking about healing from sexual trauma. One way to do that is through kink. Strangely enough and oddly enough. And exploring and talking about this one way just now with Sam. I'm DJ. And those of us listening to us on podcast land, you can listen to the full, complete, and uncensored show on intoyourbody.buzzsprout.com. And you can listen to all of the episodes in their full, uncensored glory in beautiful stereo sound. And of course, if you want to download the show and get a new show whenever one comes about, you can listen to them in all the places that you can listen to podcasts. That'll be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. And of course, every Saturday night / Sunday morning at midnight in the Emerald City of Eugene at KEPWLPFM 97.3 and at KEPW.org. So, talking about being able to heal from sexual abuse, trauma, assault through a sexual experience.
Yes.
And one that you can control.
So that's the big thing, being able to control it.
And that's what I'm finding out here. That's what makes it all the difference.
Yeah.
I know that for myself, being able to heal sexually for me is being able to slowly get back into feeling sexual again.
Right.
Bit by bit, slowly, you know, going into the things that I myself like, going into my own personal kinks, my own personal fantasies, diving into that and making sure that I feel them in the most honest way that I can. So that way I can be sensual again.
Yes.
At times I hit roadblocks, to be honest with you. I do hit roadblocks where I want to just like, here we go. And this is beyond, you know, having the trigger. This is one of those roadblocks where it's like, I'm here. And that's like, wait, I'm there. I'm mentally there, but I'm not crossing that line yet. And I can see that in a kink scene, whatever I can say like, okay, let's you and I do a scene where it's not a femdom scene, but right. Yet I want to be submissive and I want you to take me instead. So grease up the strap on.
Right.
Okay, let's go. That is something that one thing that I've been wanting to have with somebody else for a while. And I had that experience and I keep having that experience. And I'm lucky to have it with some of the people that I have, but it's for me, it's difficult for me to find one other person who wants to do it as well.
Right.
And for me, it's like, listen, this is part of my own sexual identity. I want this to happen and I want my other partner to enjoy it with me. But there's one point where I was just too shy to ask this person, or I would ask this other person and they'd be like, completely turned off by it. So it's like it's one or the other. Just have to keep knocking on doors, have to keep asking right. people. After a while, I just get exhausted. I'm just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. And you just go back to just, you know, doing it by yourself or doing it on your own.
You haven't asked the right people yet.
Keep asking the right people.
Yeah, you haven't asked the right people yet.
Yeah, but it's still like, you know, I want to share that one side with that other person, mm-hmm. and I want to break through it. But yet, me not being able to find that other partner is not giving me, and I know this is really selfish of me to say this, it's not giving me that reciprocal validation.
Why is it selfish of you to want reciprocal validation?
You know, that's a really good question.
I know.
Why would I think it's selfish of me to want that validation? I'm saying that because I don't want to have to ideally seek outside validation of what I like and what I enjoy. And I want to be able to enjoy that with that one other person who will just be able to hopefully be able to understand it and go with it. But as we all know, everybody's different.
Right.
Everybody's not the same.
Yeah.
So all I could do is to say, hey, I want to do this. You want to do it or not? No? Yes? Okay. All right. If they do, that's great. If they don't, then they don't. And I've been finding more don'ts than do's.
Well, and even if you find a do, then you still have to set your parameters of what you're okay with. Mm-hmm. So that you're still in control, because you're going to need that. So that you're in control of what happens to you. Yeah.
I appreciate what I'm in control of, what happens to me, at least.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change anything about that. But I just still keep hoping, you know. I still just keep wishing that there's going to be at least one other person, and it'll be like, whoa. And I don't want an ego mate, you know.
Right.
I just want to be able to feel that sensual belonging with that other person. I guess that's what I'm ultimately looking for.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what we're all looking for. But that feeling of that sensual belonging with that other person, that they don't necessarily have to match what my kinks and my fantasies are, but just to at least be able to take me on energetically.
Right.
And mentally, and just be able to feel and know and instinctively love along with me at the same time. Not just in ego, but just, hey, I'm full and complete to myself. The other person is full and complete and of themselves. And it's just this magnetic attraction. And I don't have to explain or justify anything that I'm into for this other person. They're just like, hey, that's cool. All you have to do is just talk about it with me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's how it's supposed to be, babe.
Yes.
That's how it is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You are supposed to be able to just talk about it.
And just be able to have that experience.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be things that some people just aren't into. And, you know, sometimes we have to work around that, do something else, and maybe deny ourselves that one bit. But again, and this harks back to the last show on polyamory, you can't be all things to all people.
That is true.
So that's one of the really cool things about polyamory, is you're in love with this person and everything you do is great. It's all good together. But there's this piece that this person can't stomach the thought of. I don't know what it is exactly, but whatever it is, there's this one piece that maybe you need someone else to do. And again, this is all just blather, because we're talking about being able to talk to your partner, mm-hmm. and work through a trauma and bring back the good feelings, get into the feelings, enjoy the sexuality, enjoy right. the sensuality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, being able to script again, we're going to go there. Being able to script to say, this is what I will do, this is what I won't do, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. These are the things we can talk about that I don't know if I'd like them or not. But I'd be willing to talk about them and try them, maybe.
And be willing to do them.
Yeah.
Well, at least give it a shot. So at least to a couple of lovers, I would give them credit where credit is due. At least they gave it a shot. At least they said, okay, let me give it a try. Yeah. So I appreciate that. Wish they were into it more. And then there's this one opposite where I was just a complete opposite, because I was still healing from the previous one, and I was just still just like trying to get back into that, with sharing that with another person.
Right.
That was just so hard. It was, because when you really trust one person with your one little kink, it's like, okay, here I am with this, and you've already made this commitment with this other person, and they don't like it. They're turned off by it. That does actually traumatize you.
Yeah, it does a little.
I wasn't ready for that.
Makes you less likely to ask the next one.
Yeah, it did. It did. And I'm sure the next one would have been more than gung-ho for it. But I was just way too traumatized by that last person to ask the next person to indulge with right. me. And it was so difficult for me to ask, even though that's all I had to do. That's all I had to do. And trust them and get them to talk. Ask them, hey, what it is that you like, and then try to get that conversation going. At least that's one way I was able to get some distance closer. This is a heck of a strong topic, isn't it?
It is. It's hard to talk about.
It is hard to talk about because it is a very intimate topic, and it is very much... It does reveal a lot, and it is very much asking.
But asking you to open about your journey, and it's a little difficult to talk about sometimes.
It is, but to a certain extent, I think the more we talk about it, the easier it is for everyone to...
That's very true.
Collect our experiences and then share in the healing process and come up with more ideas that we can heal with.
Right.
And if anyone out there has any ideas, you can reach out to us. The Twitter for the podcast is @IntoYourBody1, the number one. And the Facebook and the Tumblr are Into Your Body Podcast. And the email address that you can reach out to us is IntoYourBodyPodcast@gmail.com. So I know this isn't the last time that we're going to talk about this because it is a very good topic, but we need to discuss how we are able to heal from that, to heal from sexual trauma sometimes through sex, to get back to a point where sex is pleasurable for us again. And learning, I mean, I was able to feel again through learning how to love my body again, and at least starting from a place of not loving my body, but from loving from where I'm at right now.
Right.
And learning how to respect that and just repeating it again and again and again and again. Until it's like, hey, nice elbow. Starting with that. Starting with something that I like about my body. Something.
See, I'm perfectly happy with my body as long as I'm not looking in a mirror.
Mm. And isn't that a challenge for you to try to look into a mirror?
It is a challenge for me to look in a mirror, yes.
Yes. Is it still just learning how to see yourself as a...
Unlearning to see something that isn't there. Because I know it's not there, but I still see it.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't realize that I'm a chunky monkey until I look in the mirror again. Because I don't feel like it. I'm just me.
And yet, this is where you have to start.
Or not.
Hey, that's okay. That's perfectly okay.
I mean, I'm perfectly happy in my body as long as I'm not inspecting it. I'm comfortable in it. I'm not ashamed of it, obviously. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe for me, looking in the mirror is the opposite, because then I do notice the flaws.
Okay, so we told everybody where we are and what we do, and some extra stuff as well. So to all of us here, thank you for listening to our show. And also, you can listen to us every Saturday night / Sunday morning at midnight on KEPWLP 97.3 FM in Eugene and online at KEPW.org. And of course, you can listen to the full uncensored show on IntoYourBody.Buzzsprout.com. And to all of us out there, thank you very much for listening to Into Your Body. I'm DJ.
And I'm Sam, and I have one last thing to say before the final word. Mm-hmm. One last thing. Our personal struggles and ways of coping may or may not help you. We hope that they will, and we hope that you'll find it in your own way to come back from whatever it is that's holding you back.
It's essential that to know that you're not alone.
You're absolutely not alone.
And that you do have support that's out there waiting for us.
Okay. And for that, don't forget to masturbate.
Good night.